is not. Is not here at this time. Her and a couple other members of the conservatory are at the textbook conference that you all were so gracious enough to contribute for her and to be able to attend. And so instead of having the continuation of the house that God built, I'm going to just share a word of encouragement along the lines of the series this morning. And then I'll pray us out, and then we'll be done with our service for this morning. So I just want to thank you guys for your grace. I'll pray us in and then we'll get started. Father, we just thank you on this morning. We lift up your holy name. We declare that you are holy and that you are righteous. Father, we thank you for your sovereignty. We thank you for your grace and your mercies that renew itself each day. Father, we thank you for your unconditional love. There's nowhere that we can go that your love cannot find us, that your spirit cannot find us. Father, we thank you for your patience with us. And Father, we just give you this service on this morning. Father, we pray that you would lead us and guide us. Father, we thank you for the discussions, Lord, that we already started to have. We know that you are already here. We know that your spirit is in the conservatory, God, that you are in control. So Father, we yield to your spirit on this morning. We surrender and we say, have your way. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would meet every need. Father, we pray for traveling mercies for those that are out of town and our leaders that are on their way back from the conference. And Father, we just thank you for everything that you're doing. Father, we declare that everything that you have begun in the conservatory, that you will see it into fruition. So we trust you, we lean on you, and we look to you for everything, for guidance, for direction, for wisdom, and for understanding. Father, we just pray that each person on this line will be able to receive something, receive some type of encouragement, receive some type of word that will allow them, Lord, to move further in you, to grow deeper in you, to go stronger, to be more mature, to have peace, for healing to take place, for transformation to take place. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would feel your tangible presence on this morning. We thank you and we pray to you in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. So on this morning, I just want to share a couple things, as I said, along the lines of the series that we're in. A couple things were said this morning, that also reminded me that God is patient with us. You know, we talked about like the 20 years that the Joseph's brother spent holding on to this lie, but God was waiting 20 years too. He was waiting 20 years for that repentance, and he did not give up on them because his focus was on the end game. His focus was on his eternal intention, his eternity. That's his focus. And he was willing to wait 20 years for the brothers to come around because he knew that in the end it would all work out. In the end, it would have to take place this way for his plans to be able to prevail. But God is patient, and he's patient with us. He's patient with you and me. And I was just reminded about that because I know we talked about Joseph being patient for those 20 years and the brothers sitting on that line for those 20 years, but God was patient during those 20 years. I just want to share something about a house, right? We're in the series, The House That God Built. And we, in the beginning of the series, Apostle Teresa gave us many definitions to what the word house could mean in scripture. A lot of times it could mean your physical house, your physical dwelling place. It could also mean your family. Your house could represent like your lineage, your heritage, the generations that proceed from you, your nations, but it can also represent you. And so I just want to take a few moments to talk about what that looks like and just encourage you in your house, your being. Just encourage you on this morning, and I just pray that you all are blessed. I don't have a PowerPoint, but I am going to pull up some scriptures and share them with you. Hopefully one of you guys could type them into the chat so that we can have a record of the scriptures that we're sharing. The first scripture that I want to us to take a look at is Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. And it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So The scripture is saying a lot, right? And it's talking about how the word of God, and we all know the word of God is a mirror. So hopefully, as all these teachings are going forth and you're hearing these scriptures and you're reading the word for yourself, your primary goal is so that you can see you. Your goal when you're hearing these words is, oh man, I wish such and such heard this word. Oh, that's exactly, I know somebody just like Joseph's brothers. No, when you hear the word, you are supposed, the first thing that you're supposed to do when you hear the word is apply it to your own personal life and not to someone else. And so what's important for me in this scripture that I want to focus on today is that the word of God is piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And the reason why I'm pointing that out is because soul and spirit are not the same thing. There's a distinction happening here in scripture. Soul and spirit are not the same thing. We know that we are physical beings, right? We have a body, but we also have a soul. We also have a spirit. And when I say soul, I'm not talking about like this, and I think it comes from like Greek mythology, like this spirit being that's just like roaming the earth. No, I'm talking about what makes up your being, what makes up who you are. That's your mind, the way that you think. That's your will, that's your emotions, that's your heart. That is your soul. That's the essence of who you are. So when I say soul, that's what I'm referring to. So that's the first thing. I want to make sure we're on the same page with that, that soul and spirit are not the same thing. The next scripture that I want us to take a look at is Mark 3, verse 20 to 25. And in this scripture, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in this scripture, the Pharisees are accusing Jesus, and they're saying that, you know, Jesus is delivering people from demons by the power of another demon, right? And Jesus responds to them, and he tells them, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and a house divided against itself cannot stand. That is in Mark 3, verse 20 to 25. And so a house divided cannot stand. So if we're looking, there's other scriptures that talk about how you are the temple of the living God, right? So for the sake of this discussion, when we hear a house divided amongst against itself cannot stand, I want us to think about you. You divided against yourself, you cannot stand. Your soul competing with your spirit cannot stand. Your body competing with your spirit cannot. You as a house, I'm not talking about the house that you live in. I'm not talking about your family. I'm not talking about your culture, the nation that you live in. I'm not talking about, you know, political parties and whatever you, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about there's two opposing sports fans, the Celtics versus the Lakers, and oh, it's a divided house. No, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. Are you divided against yourself? Are you unified? How are you standing? There's a scripture in James, I believe, chapter 4. I know it's in the book of James, but it talks about how maybe James 1, verse 4. It talks about how a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. When you are divided against yourself, you are unstable. Your behaviors are conflicting. Where you do one thing one day and then you do something the other day that's counterproductive, or in your spirit, you've declared that Jesus is Lord, but then your body is doing something else. Your soul is doing something else. So that's what I want us to focus on this morning. Are you divided against your own self? How is your house? How is your house? Not the house that you live in, not your family. How are you? How are you? How is your soul on this morning? How is your spirit on this morning? A lot of times when you look at someone from the outside, there are a lot of signs, I guess we can say, when someone's body is ruling them. Sometimes it's pretty obvious, right? The signs are usually more apparent when someone's body is ruling them, when they're making decisions when they're allowing their body to make decisions, right? Whether that's laziness, you know, not wanting to do certain things, not wanting to wake up early, and you know, there's signs, right? And it's usually obvious from the outside, whether that's gluttony, promiscuity, or excessive drinking, smoking, all those things, there are signs that are more obvious when someone's allowing their body to rule, or even to the point where you're allowing perhaps an infirmity to dictate your life, right? I'm not talking about just having sickness as in general, but I'm talking about when you're making decisions from this place where everything that you do is revolving around this thing, where it's revolving around, you can't go out to eat as a specific restaurant if they don't serve alcohol, or like you can't stay at this specific hotel if you can't smoke there. Like just allowing your body to rule your decisions. That's what I'm talking about here. And a lot of times it's very obvious, but when it comes time to our soul making decisions for us, sometimes it's not so apparent. Sometimes it's not so obvious, and that's why we need the word of God to be able to discern from soul and spirit. That's why you need something sharp so that you can tell when your soul is guiding you or when the Holy Spirit is guiding you. Does that make sense? There's a scripture where Paul says, "I discipline my body." There's other versions that said that say, "I beat my body," and I'm not asking you or I'm not encouraging anyone to physically inflict harm on their physical bodies. But Paul talked about how he had to discipline his body and bring it into subjection. There's a certain level of discipline. If you desire to serve God, there's a level of discipline that you have to embody. And we know what that looks like physically. We know what that looks like for your body. But what does it look like for your soul? What does that look like for your mind? What does that look like to get your emotions in check? David said, "I command my mind to praise the Lord." Sometimes you have to command your mind, that you have to command your nephesh, your soul, your emotions to praise the Lord. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I believe that Joseph was able to accomplish that. He was able to be united in his soul, his spirit, his body, all of that. Because if we compare Job to Joseph, right? When we read the book of Job, we saw how Job contended with a lot of the things that were happening to him. He contended for a moment there. He was divided in himself, where he was divided. If you go back and read it, there are some scriptures that make it obvious that he was contending. But for Joseph, we don't see where Joseph ever doubted. We don't see, because we know that Joseph was Hebrew, right? But we don't see during the famine when the brothers came to Egypt to be able to get food. I'm sure they were not the only Hebrew people coming up there to get food. So he didn't take a stance against all Hebrew people, like, oh, the Hebrew people, they did me dirty. We don't see him doing that. So now when he's reacting, in a certain way towards anybody that even remotely represented his brothers or anything like that, he didn't take that stance. He didn't allow his emotions to rule him. He didn't lead from a wounded place. And the thing about Joseph is that's important is that if he was angry, if he was hurt, if he was bitter, it was justified. It was justified. He had every right to be upset. He had every right to be mad, to be angry, to be depressed. He had every right. It was not displaced anger. It was not displaced bitterness. It wasn't displaced at all. But he decided that he was not going to live or make decisions out of his emotions. When he was in jail, and then the baker forgot about him, or the cupbearer, when they forgot about him, when I think it was the baker that got out of jail, they forgot about him. He didn't allow that to further disappoint him or to further upset him. Like it didn't, oh, like he just didn't take that stance. Like, oh, people are always doing something to me. Why is my life like this? You know what I'm saying? Because for 20 years, things kept happening to him. He was sold into slavery. Then he got thrown into jail. He didn't take this perspective like, oh, my whole life is ruined. People are always be doing evil things to me. Why am I always in this? Because he didn't turn that into his whole life story. He did not lead from a wounded place. He also did not say, so a lot of times when things do happen to us and we're justified, right? And we're like, well, I'm never going to go to church again, or I'm never going to do this, or, and then we're like, well, God knows my heart and he knows what these people did to me. And yeah, God does know your heart. He absolutely does know your heart. And he says in scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things. So it's not an excuse. It's not like he said in scripture, yeah, sometimes the heart, like I know sometimes people's heart can be emotional and it's okay. No, yeah, he knows your heart. He knows that you're upset. But the heart is deceitful, so it can make a small matter into a large matter. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? That scripture is Jeremiah 17, verse 9. There's another scripture that I want to share with you all. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 to 24. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So here's another place in scripture where there's a distinction being made between spirit, soul, and body. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that I want to share with you all today is your mind contains your memories of past sins, past lifestyles, things that you used to do, things that people have done to you. And so your mind is another place where you essentially have to surrender to the Lord, right? The scripture tells us in Romans 12, chapter 2, that your mind is supposed to be renewed every day by the word of God, so that the things that have happened to you are not constantly being replayed in your mind. Wounds are not able to be healed. And then now you're making decisions from this place. You're leading all your life from this place. Your relationships are based from this place. Just everything is being taken over, and the spirit of God is not ruling your life anymore, because either your mind is ruling or your emotions, something else is ruling it besides God. And this is why a lot of times too, you'll see like a lot of intellectual people have a hard time understanding God, because sometimes like it just doesn't make sense. Scripture tells us that there are certain some things that are spiritually discerned. And if you want to think just logically, sometimes it's like, this don't make no, A plus A squared plus B squared is not C, it's not adding up. Like something's off in the formula. But every aspect of you has to be governed by the Spirit of God. Every single aspect of you. You cannot allow your flesh to rule. You can't allow your soul to rule. Even your mind, you can't allow to rule. The Spirit of the living God has to rule, has to make those decisions. And that scripture was Romans 12, verse 2. So I want us to take some time just to consider your house, your physical being, and just ask God to show you where you are divided, where your spirit wants to rule, where the Holy Spirit wants to rule, but it's getting it's being frustrated by the desires of your heart or the desires of your mind. So that's what I wanted to encourage you all with this morning, to consider as we're in the series, The House That God Built, to know that God is building you as a house too, not just your family, not just your household, but you as a house. You are a house. And just ask the Lord, where are you? Where are you, and what is the condition of your house? Are you a stable house? Are you under construction? Is your house falling apart? Is your house lopsided? Is your house on sinking sand? Where are you built? Is your trust in the word of God, or have you been trusting in something else? So these are questions that I really want to implore you to ask of the Lord, so that we can make sure that our house is being built on the solid rock, our strong foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. So Father, we thank you on this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that gives life, that gives breath to our lungs. Father, we thank you for your spirit on this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that you would search our hearts, God, that you would search our nefesh, that you would search our souls on this morning, that you would search our minds, God, and every place, Lord, in our lives where we have exalted this thing above you. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would reveal it to us on this morning, God. Father, we just submit to you. We ask that you would take full control, that you would lead and guide us into all truth. And we pray to you, not because we are worthy, but in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.